put your hands together. Give Jesus Christ. Come on, give Jesus a big round of applause. Glory to God. He's everything we need. I can find it in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Truly, this is a day that the Lord has made, a day that we will rejoice and be glad in it. So good to be standing on holy grounds this morning. I want to say we had a great time this weekend. It's been an awesome time. God really moved and poured out His Spirit, and couldn't have been successful without God and you. So I want to thank you so much. I want to thank Pastor Wes and the pastoral staff and all the elders and deacons and the office staff. I just want to thank them so much for laboring so hard. My assistant Dottie, that worked so hard, and just really appreciate her. She did an outstanding job putting stuff together. And everybody that came out Friday night, putting bags together, had an awesome turnout. We had over 40-some people down bagging stuff up downstairs. And I want to thank you so much for that. All the van drivers, the kitchen crew, Elder Julian, you all did an awesome job in cooking that wonderful breakfast. My God, that breakfast is so good, I like to hurt myself, brother. Glory to God. So I want to thank you so much for everyone that participated, all the van drivers, Jim, and all everybody. I want to say thank you so much. It wouldn't have been successful without you. So once again, thank you for a wonderful outreach this weekend. And this morning we have quite a few people here from the outreach. We got close to 4 van loads that are here this morning in service with us this morning from the outreach. Can you put your hands together and give God some praise for that? Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to open your Bibles up this morning. I want you to open your Bibles up to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. God's laid a message on my heart. But before I get in my message this morning, I read something that was pretty humorous. Every day of my life, I get up and I read something that gets me a good laugh. And this is what it said. It said, a Baptist boy suggested that they play church to a little Methodist girl who lived next door. The little girl said, I have to ask my mother. She came back later shaking her head saying, Mother said we cannot play church because we belong to different abominations. Glory to God. So good to have my cousin here, Chester. We appreciate you so much. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Let your church say amen when you find it. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And God, your word is real. Your word is alive. Your word is active. Your word is powerful. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray this morning that not one person would walk out of here discouraged this morning. I pray that you would save, that you would heal, that you would encourage us, build us up in the things of God. This day, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at the person next to you and say, neighbor, I want to ask you a question. Do you know why Jesus came? Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, did you hear what that preacher said? Do you know why Jesus came? Now turn around, look at the person behind you and say, neighbor, do you know why Jesus came? Amen. How many know he came to save us? Come on, church. He came to deliver us. He came to set us free by the power of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The phrase in verse 4, when the fullness of time had come, the Apostle Paul points to the fact that it was God who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross that we might have life and have it more abundantly. There's a lot going on politically, economically, culturally, and religiously speaking of just like today. The appointed date for his son to arrive was right on time. Now, the Bible does not tell us the exact time, the exact day, but we know we celebrate Christmas and the birth of Jesus. But the most important fact is that he was born and he is alive today. And he's right there on the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us right now. King Solomon tells us that life is really, it all matters the timing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, there's a time, everything, there's a season. There's a time for every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up, which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to love, a time of peace. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt this morning, how many believe that it's time for us to take back everything the devil stole from us? We need to take our families. Come on, church. We need to take our joy. We need to take our peace. We need to take back everything the enemy stolen. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, the bottom line is timing is everything. Church, we need to realize this morning that timing of Christ's birth was according to God's plan. Just like the right time that God sent his son, his only begotten son. You might be here this morning saying, Evangelist Mahan, how do you know God cares about us? How do you know God loves us? Well, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says that he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He was born of a virgin. The Bible says in Matthew 1:21, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. How many know that God is with us this morning? He will not fail us. He will not forsake us. He will bring us through. And let me tell you this morning, the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. And the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? God is on your side. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, how many know that God that I serve, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, somebody ought to help me preach in this house this morning. How many know that God is faithful? Come on, church. God is faithful. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God, born of a virgin. Glory to God. The Bible teaches us visit by the holy men. There are three things that I want to talk to you about this morning. Why did Jesus come? Glory to God. First of all, how many know we have all sinned? One, two, three. Come on, church. If you don't have your hand up, I'm coming to get you. Come on. Come on, put them up one more time. Let me look around here again. Dan, get that hand up, brother. Damn, my friend, man, he all right. Glory to God. But the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Why did Jesus come? From the beginning, God made everything perfect. The first man and the woman was perfect until their act of disobedience. God gave Adam a commandment. Glory to God. It said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. When I think about the word of God, the disobedience of Adam and Eve changed everything. The Bible teaches us in John 10:10, that the thief cometh to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have life more abundant. Sin will carry you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. This act of disobedience did not take God by surprise. The event of our lives does not randomly happen by chance. God has a purpose behind everything. When you're going through something, how many believe that God can bring you out of that darkness and bring you into the marvelous light? God can do anything but fail. The Bible says this. The Bible says this in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin into the world and death by sin, so death pass upon all men. But when I think about God's purpose and a plan for our lives, God knew and God knows that he has a purpose for our, God knows that we needed him in our lives. He has a purpose and a plan for every individual here this morning. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has perfect knowledge of us. He knows everything that's going on in our lives. He knows our setting down. He knows our hearts. Let me tell you this morning, many of y'all heard my testimony. We got new people here this morning. But when I think about being deep in sin, I think about my life being a Vietnam vet, 2 Purple Hearts, went to Vietnam, fought the war, got messed up, tied up in drugs and alcohol, went through 7 30-day programs, in and out of jail. I tried AA, NA, nay, nay, may, nay, E, nay, fake it till you make it, keep coming back, get a sponsor. But my life was messed up. And people used to look at me and say, he's deep in sin. He'll never be anything but a drug addict. He'll never come out of that sin. But I got good news for you. How many know when God gets a hold of you, he will change your life by the power of God? Come on, church. Somebody ought to give God some praise if you've been changed by the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll preach myself happy. Come on, church. My God, I'm so fired up this morning. Got up this morning, 4 o'clock. Come on, church. Preaching to the walls. Phyllis was in the bedroom hollering, amen. Come on, church. Glory to God. God knows what's going on in our lives. Sin will separate you from God. God knows all, and God has had a plan. The Bible says God sent Jesus, his son, to die for us that we might have life. Now, when I think about sin, the Hebrew and the Greek word translates sin. Throughout the Bible, revolves largely around 2 major concepts. The first is that of transgressions. To transgress means to step across, to go beyond or set boundaries or limit. The second word is translated sin. In the Bible, it involves the second concept, to miss the mark. We miss the mark by either missing the goal at which we were aiming or by falling short of that goal. In either situation we fail to reach the mark set for us if we don't press into God like never before. When I think about the mark, I think about the Apostle Paul's writings. I love his writings. I preach from his text, from his writings a lot. And I love the Apostle Paul's writing. You know what Paul said about pressing towards the mark and talking about fighting a good fight? The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians. He said in Philippians, he said in chapter 3, he said, not as though I had already attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And he said in verse 14 of Philippians chapter 3, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. How many know that sometime when you're going through, you got to press your way? Come on, church. How many know it's not going to be easy all the time? But you got to press your way. You got to say, God, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to press my way because you have a plan for my life. I'm going to press my way to the house of God. I'm going to press through this situation. I'm going to press because my past is gone. How many know the enemy will beat you down with your past and say you will never be able to make it? You will never be able to be set free. You will never be able to walk in victory. But I got good news for you. This morning, if you're struggling, just realize when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the living God will raise up a standard. And the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells within you. And he that is in you is greater, come on, church, than he that is in the world. Come on, church, somebody ought to help me get happy. I'm going to press my way to the things of God. My God, I feel my help coming on. Come on, church. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, that brother Mahan is something, man. By the grace of God, I am who I am. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Press. How many believe when you press, things happen? One, two, three. Glory to God. How many press their way out of that bed this morning? Come on. One, two, three. How many press their way praising God this morning? Glory to God. Didn't it feel good when you start praising God and lifting up the name of Jesus Christ the best? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. For the spirit which is contrary to the flesh, they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatsoever you want. But if you're led by the spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh of obviously glory to God, but everything that goes on, fits of rage and selfish ambition, you will not be tied up in that. And I want to say this morning, thank God for the fruit of the Spirit. Thank God that we can bear fruit in our lives. The Bible says in Galatians 5:21-22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Glory to God. If we're not bearing fruit, how many know we need to get in the Word of God so we can bear fruit? We need to get in the Word of God where we can stand firm on the Word of God. What does it mean to bear fruit? We are the light of the world and the salt of this earth. I got good news for you this morning. How many know every time you try to do good, evil is always present? The enemy is always roaming and trying to get us to go back to the world. He doesn't want us to press into God. He does not want us to be faithful. He does not want us to praise God. But I've learned in 26 years being drug free, not one time have I returned back to drugs and alcohol. I'm talking about heroin, cocaine, methadone, Wild Ives, Rose, Thunderbird, Jack Daniels, MD-2020, Budweiser, Coke 45. Never made it up to Michelob because it cost too much money. But one thing I know, come on, church, I've been set free by the power of Almighty God. Come on, church, I'm not a drug addict. Come on, church, I'm a child of God. Somebody ought to give God some praise right now. Give God some praise right now by the power of God. Come on, church, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Sin will carry you further than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. I've talked about sin. Now I want to talk about our Savior. I might run around a church when I talk about my Savior. Will it be all right? I better hold on. Come on, church. My Savior. How did God choose us? How does God deal with sin? How did he choose us, our Savior? Thanks be to God, sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as the mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Emmanuel, when I think about Emmanuel, I think about our son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Isaiah prophesied 714 years before the Messiah would come on the scene. And Isaiah said this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be up on his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful. How many know he's a wonderful God? Come on, church. How many know he's a wonderful God? A wonderful God. Glory to God, our counselor, our mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is our Savior of the world? The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Who is our Savior? Who can deliver us? Who can set us free? Who can work miracles in our lives? Who's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? Can God reach down and set an alcoholic free? Yes, he can. Can God set a drug addict free? Yes, he can. Can God set a person that's depressed free? Yes, he can. Can God heal? Yes, he can. Can God still open up blind eyes? I got good news for you today. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's everything I need. God can do anything but fail. Glory to God. Glory to God. I thank God. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God, which gives us our victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God, our Savior. You know, I went to the store the other day. Me and Phyllis went out and we had been shopping, and I walked by the meat place. How many know, you've heard me say this, but how many know I love chicken? Come on, church. Love chicken. So I told Phyllis, I said, honey, I'm getting tired of eating all that store bought, that Popeyes and all that stuff and Kentucky Fried Chicken. I want one right out to one. I'm going to buy a fresh one. And she said, Gerald, you going to cook it? I said, wife, submit yourself to your husband, for this is right and wrong. She going to get me for that, but I'm going to be in the doghouse. Pastor West, if you don't see me, I'm in the doghouse. Amen. But I said, the scripture says, wives submit yourself to the Lord, for this is right in the Lord. And then I said, well, David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. And I said, God, you give me my heart's desire. You said in the word of God, if I walk up right before you, no good thing will you withhold from those that walk up right before you. And God, I just want this fresh chicken. Glory to God. God, I want this fresh chicken. Glory to God. So I looked at the man and I said, man, I want one of them big ones. Come on, church. Glory to God. So he looked at me. He said, man, this one just came in today. I said, that's the one I want. I put that bad boy in the oven and I got it home. And glory to God, I pulled it out the bag and I put it in the water. And glory to God, filled it up with water so it could soak. And I looked at Phyllis and I said, baby, I've done my job. Now it's your job. Come on, church. Glory to God. She's going to get me in a minute, but she loves me. I love that girl. She said, Gerald, I love you. We're going to eat some fresh chicken. I said, God, I just love you so much. So she said, Gerald, you cut that thing. Glory to God. And she started cutting and cut the legs off of that thing and cut it up and pulled it out. And I said, put the liver, put the gizzard in there, put all that in there. And then she put some barbecue sauce on that bad boy. Come on, church. About 15 minutes later, I was like, oh, God, let that stove hurry up and cook that bad boy. God, you know my heart. God, would you get this thing ready? And pull that chicken out of there and then made some fresh greens with it. Come on, church. Glory to God, fresh greens. Glory to God, have some kale greens beside that thing. Glory to God, some cauliflower. How many know there was something going on in my house? Come on, church. Glory to God, something was going on in my house. Glory to God, I said, honey, you're the best wife in the world. You're the best cook in the world. You number one. She said, I better be the only one. Come on, church. Glory to God. I love that girl. Come on, church. Glory to God. Glory to God. But I got good news for you. How many know when you serve God and you put Jesus number one, he will bless you going in. He'll bless you coming out. He'll bless your seed. He'll put food on the table. Somebody ought to give God some praise if you believe our Savior will provide. Come on, church. He is Jehovah Jireh. Glory to God. Our Savior. Why wouldn't serve a Savior like that? Church, he laid down his life for us that we could have eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 15, 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Glory to God. The Bible teaches us in Galatians 4, 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now the phrase, made under the law, made under the law. Jesus was king. Remember what he said in Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He was obligated to fulfill all the law at that time, all the ceremonial laws, the judicial law, all the moral laws, which were the Ten Commandments. He placed himself under the law and lived in subjection to the very laws of which he was the author of the, and the giver. Our Lord was sinless. He didn't sin in every aspect of his growth. He stood firm from a child, from his childhood to manhood, to the cross. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but within all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." He kept it. I mean, he went all the way, church, that you could be victorious in this house this morning, that we can see people changed by the power of God. I got good news for you as an evangelist. You know what I love to see? I love to see people giving their heart to Christ. As we was in that park yesterday, preaching that park downtown, seeing people give their heart to Christ, two shelters, people from right here in this church, our home church, went to two shelters. They went in, they stood on the word of God, they lift up the name of Jesus. How many know that God is moving by his spirit and Jesus is still saving? Come on, church, how many know Jesus is still saving? Glory to God. When I think about saving, I think about when I read about D.L. Moody. I read something about D.L. Moody. While speaking in London, D.L. Moody was approached by a British companion who wanted to know the secret of Moody's success in leading people to Christ. D.L. Moody directed the man to his hotel window and asked, "What do you see?" The man looked down at the square and reported a view of a crowded street. Moody suggested, "Look again." This time the man mentioned seeing people, men, women, and children. Moody directed him to look a third time, and the man became frustrated that he was not seeing what Moody wanted him to see. The great evangelist, D.L. Moody, came to the window with water in his eyes. Moody said this, "I see people going to hell without Jesus." Until you see people like that, you will never lead them to Christ. I got good news for your church. How many know this morning, I don't want to see one person miss heaven. I don't want to see one person miss heaven. I want everybody that I can think of, everybody I can witness to, that share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to see people saved. I want to see people delivered. I want to see people walking in victory, because heaven is real. How many believe that heaven is real? How many want to make it to heaven? Come on, church, if you want to make it to heaven, let me see you give God some praise right now by the power of God. Come on, church, I don't want to miss heaven. Glory to God. I talked about sin. I talked about our Savior. For the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about salvation. Very simple message. The Bible teaches us in Galatians 4:5 to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The number one problem in the world today is sin. The number one need for our Savior Jesus Christ is the only answer to the problems of the world, and that is salvation. We need Jesus. The Bible teaches us in Romans 5:8-9, "But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came and paid the price. The Bible says that Jesus paid for our sins in 7:23, "You are bought with a price." The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, "In whom you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace." When I think about the Son, I think about the word of God. I think about salvation. And the Bible says this in 1 Timothy 2:6, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." when I think about the word of God and salvation. The Bible says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, Jesus came. What did he come for? He came for sinners. He came to change our lives. He came to fulfill prophecy. He came to serve. He came to reveal the Father. He came to bring judgment. He came that we might be victorious. He came to bear witness of the truth. He came to reconcile us to the Father. He came to adopt us. Do you really know why Jesus came? He came to save sinners, and the devil does not want us to be saved. But I remember that day on April the 12th, 7:30 p.m., 1989. I was sitting in a detox center up at Howard University Detox Center. And I remember that day 26 years ago, how Jesus came and he set me free by the power of the Almighty God. Come on, church. I remember that day. I remember that time. I remember when he touched me. And every time that devil threw my past up, I said, let me tell you one thing. Jesus whooped you, came up out the grave, and gave me the keys. And I said, devil, on top of that, you shut up and you take that. Come on, church. Give God some praise. Come on, church. Somebody ought to give God some praise. I'm victorious in this house. Jesus came to save sinners. Today is the day of salvation. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I feel God in this house. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, I want to thank you this morning. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for loving us. God, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. God, before I go any further, today, right here in this pulpit, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for restoring my marriage. Thank you, Lord, that I have a wonderful wife that I love so much. Both of us love you, Jesus. God, perhaps there's some here this morning saying, oh, God, where are you? Perhaps there's some here this morning saying, I need a change. Perhaps there's some here saying, I need housing. Perhaps there's some here saying, I need a job. Jesus, you came to give us life. If you're here today, right where you're sitting, just you and God, the Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I was lost one day. I was lost without no hope, no direction, but God, you changed my life. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here this morning and you would say, Evangelist Gerald Mahan, I need a change in my life. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I don't want to live this life any longer. I need Jesus. I need a change. I want to make him Lord of my life. Right where you're sitting, just you and God, just slip that hand up and say, pray for me. Slip it up. Slip it up. Thank you. Hands are going up. Keep them up high. Keep them up high. Hands are going up all over the building. Keep them up high. Keep them up high. Father, I thank you this morning. If you're here this morning, you would say, Evangelist Mahan, I grew up in church. I used to be on fire for God. But right now, I'm not where I should be. And I need a change in my life. Right where you're sitting, just you and God. And you would say, that's me, Evangelist Mahan. Slip that hand up and say, pray for me. Slip it up. Thank you. I see that hand. I see the other hand. Keep it up high. Don't be ashamed. I held my hand up. I see the hand in the back. Father, I thank you for these hands that are up right now in Jesus' name. God, I don't take it lightly. This is why we preach the gospel. This is why we reach people. Father, I thank you this morning in Jesus' name. I want to do something this morning while every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Those hands that went up, I just want you to slip, look up at me right now. Every hand that went up, just look up at me. Every hand that went up, look up at me. Everyone Jesus called, he called publicly. I want you to step out your seat and walk in this aisle and meet me. Come. Come. Every hand that went up, come. 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 Don't be ashamed. Come. Come. Don't be ashamed. Come. Come. I saw some more hands go up. Come. Don't be ashamed. Come. Everyone Jesus called, he called publicly. Come. Come. Look at me for a minute. Look at me for a minute. You know why Jesus came? He came for people like us. We've all messed up. We've all sinned. But the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life is the decision that you're making this morning. The greatest decision, I made many decisions, but the greatest decision I ever made in my life was that day on April the 12th, 7:30 p.m., 1989. God literally changed my life. And what he's done for me, he will do for you. Congregation, stretch your hands forth right in this altar. Slip your hands up just like this. Put your hands up. Pray this prayer with me right now. Pray this prayer. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I confess that I am a sinner. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for setting me free this day in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise. Thank you.